You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Are you ready?
Stand by in one.
I invite you to let this be your moment.
Ready, mic one. Cue tape. And roll.
Make this your moment. Look back at this day and say, this was a day when something happened that really mattered in my life.
And we're live. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I am here to journey with you to a new day, a new moment. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. He is about to show you how your story can touch the lives of others while bringing glory to Him. It's not too late. Today, this moment can be the start of the best rest of your life. So join thousands of women from all around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment. It was Valentine's Day. The school went on as normal. But before the last bell the day could ring, Majory Stonewell Douglas High School, whose motto tells students to be positive and be passionate, would be the scene of one of the deadliest mass shootings in modern U.S. history. Good morning again, friends. This is Kim, and I invite you at this moment to the table of truth and comfort as we come together to make sense of things that seem so senseless. Let us sit for just a moment to remember, to truly remember precious souls whose physical bodies and their audible voices have been silenced, but yet whose spirit and legacy will remain forever. And as we come together today to give voice to them by learning and listening and finding hope as we come together to begin a healing process. Today's show is about how to sit and talk through the hurt and begin healing. It's not a political conversation that we're going to be having today, but yet a practical application of what we can do in moments when we just don't know what to do. Today, we have two incredible guest speakers. First, we have Dr. Barish Strother, a guidance counselor, a director of guidance at a middle high school. And later on our broadcast, we're going to have Lorianne Motzinger. Lorianne was only a few feet away from the killer at the Virginia Tech massacre. She will be sharing ways that people comforted her as she continues to heal from that horrible day. Our goal today is to look at the violence that's going on around us and to bring about a discussion to calm fears, to find hope, and to hopefully begin a healing process. I want to have a conversation where we come to the table and we figure out how to do better, how to be better, how to fight for the nation, our world, our homes, our schools, our families, our lives. And we know we can, because when we stop to think about it, when we really stop to think about what we have as believers in Christ, we know that greater is He who is in us than he who is in this world. But it has to be us working together, not against each other, but us coming together, praying and talking and being honest, and having a dialogue that maybe no one else wants to have, but we just pour our coffee and come up to the table and humbly surrender ourselves to the service of mankind. So let's do that today. I want to invite you to be a part of this panel of guests today. You can do that by dialing 347-324-5246 and press 1. You will go into our virtual waiting room, and we will call upon you with your comment or a question that you would like to have for one of these incredible guests that we have. Please remember that after our show, we will be available also in podcast to share with your friends. So, what were you doing last Wednesday at 2:23 p.m. when that first 911 call came in? "I'm in the midst of a shooting," the teenage girl says. "No, I'm not kidding. I'm in the midst of a shooting." I remember where I was. I was just getting off an airplane in Augusta, Georgia, headed to a high school to bring the Burdens of Blessings message to the teen girls there. As I got off the plane, my phone began to blow up. I knew something was going on somewhere. And the first message I got was this: "I am so tired of this, Kim. I want to go pull my kids out of school right this minute. It is a shame when we get to the place where we're afraid to send our kids to school." Oh, my gosh. My heart panicked in that moment. But I knew that that panic had to come to some sense of purpose. I put myself back into that situation. Yes, my boys have graduated from school and college, but boy, do I have a lot of friends. And I was getting ready to walk into a school, so I felt that panic from a parent's perspective. I felt that hurt. I felt that unnerving. But God, what can we do about this was my first prayer, because I know that this fear that we're feeling can cripple us, but I also know with you, God, that you can take this fear and you can let it be our inspiration to get through what we're going through, but then not only to go through it, but to grow through it and to learn to do something with this. Maybe to help me know how to speak to these girls better. Maybe it's to help us to, maybe just be better. Lord, what is the purpose? What could possibly come from something so tragic? Because this fear that we're all feeling is really just a reminder that we all have something valuable that we're not willing to lose. We want to fight for it. We don't want to just settle anymore for this, Lord. Help us. Help us to know what you would have us to do. So how do we stand up to this fear? And what are the steps? Praying, gathering information, growing in wisdom, comforting each other through this pain. That's what I want this show, this place to be about today. And with that, I welcome, so humbly welcome, our next guest, Dr. Strother, who is going to help us maybe bring sense. She stands in the school. She's with these kids all day. So, Dr. Strother, thank you so much, and welcome to Coffee with Kim.
Good morning, Kim, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, it is such a delight. I know you've cleared your schedule to be with us today, and I just can't thank you enough. Dr. Strother, help us as parents, as ones who are coming into the school system, help us to understand what it is that you're seeing. Help us to bring this to a realness for us this morning.
Okay. Well, one, we have to have a conversation with our kids. Our kids, I think we live in a society that has become desensitized to when we see pictures on the internet of guys with guns or ladies with guns, we don't report it. We just say, oh, look, that's a picture with a gun. And we have to have a conversation. We have to let our kids know. You got to report it. You got to tell us. Because where most of the parents are working every day, we're not in the media, social media, as our students are, or our kids are. But we have to have a conversation with them. Anything abnormal happened today? Anything that you see that was not of you should cause concern? And we have to have a conversation with our kids and make sure they're aware that it is not normal when you see someone that posts across there, I'm going to be a school shooter. You got to report. We got to talk. We can't become desensitized to these actions and videos. And unfortunately, we have so much social media that our kids are becoming desensitized to it, and they're not reporting.
Oh, gosh, that is, you said so many words in there that just were highlighted in my mind. And the first thing you said is we have to have a conversation. Take me into what that conversation would be like, Dr. Strother. Let's just say my kid comes home and I feel that there's something different. How do I begin that conversation? What is a good question that I can pose to them? What does that look like?
Okay, I have three sons, and two are in, one is in middle school, one is in high school, and my question to them was, did you hear the news today? And they said, of course we heard the news, everybody's talking about it. And I'm like, what were your reactions to it? Well, of course, you know, Mom, we prayed for those families, we prayed for those kids. And I was like, well, if that happened at the school we go to, what would you think would happen? And so unfortunately for us, they know that we have cameras all over. We have drills in places that will help them to get to safety. We have people that are registered carriers. So there are different things that they know our school has put in place for them. And mm-hmm. how safe do you feel? That's one of the mm-hmm. questions. How safe do you feel as a parent? Become involved. Go to PTA. Find out what your school mm-hmm. is doing to make sure your children are safe. What happens when they go on lockdown? Our doors are immediately locked, bolted. They can't get in. So that's the conversation that needs to happen. What does your school do to protect you? And if your kids don't know, then you as a parent need to find out, what do you do when something comes on or a stranger comes on campus? What is your protocol?
I love that, because what you're doing in that conversation is you're empowering me. If I'm that student, You are empowering me to step the plan of action. And, you know, one of the things, I think what you said right there, if I as a parent, if I don't know what's in place, then, wow, that's my next step to do.
Right.
That I can go to my school system. I need to be involved in my PTA. I mean, Dr. Strother, I remember at the school at Augusta Christian, when I first went there, there wasn't a PTA because it was kind of new. So I gathered some people together because I know how important it is for parents to have that time, that gathering, right, to really talk and to pray for their kids. So it's important for any parents that are listening today to understand that, yes, we're busy and there's things going on, but there's a priority right now to really be involved in your school and ask the tough questions. So I love what you said. That's a next step that we can all do. If we don't know, then we can go ask so that we do know, so that we can pass along that information to our students. What else, Dr. Mm-hmm. Strother, would you encourage us to do?
And be aware of what's on your kid's social media. Double check in. You pay for that phone. A lot of parents say, I don't know what they're doing. Yes, you do know what they're doing. Be aware of who their friends are. And make sure if you see something as a parent, just contact the other parent. We don't know our kids' families. We don't know our kids who our kids are hanging out with. Something we have to be, as a society, more involved. I grew up where everybody on the block knew who the kids were, knew what time we got off the bus, mm-hmm. and who our neighbors were. Mm-hmm. And now we live in a society where we don't even know who our neighbors are. Our kids are out playing or online with people we don't even know. So we have to be more intentional in our actions with our kids and not just leaving them out there on their own to meet people we're not aware of who they are.
There you said another one of those words, intentional. We have to be intentional, and I love that. Now you brought up a very valid point there when you said, you know, when times passed, we knew who was getting off the bus, we knew what time the bus was coming, there was a routine, and we could kind of see if something was abnormal. You went on to say, which is true, we don't live in that kind of a structured world anymore. So help us as listeners to, how would we know what is abnormal? Because you also said we need to know what's abnormal so that we can report it. So in a world that seems so unscheduled, what are some key things that we can tell our kids to be aware of, to look for, that seems, what would abnormal happenings be like that should garner our attention?
Well, one of the things that, after watching media and all the reports that have come out about the student that did the shooting, was he had Facebook posts where he said he wanted to be the famous school shooter. That automatically should have alarmed some of his friends who were watching Facebook, some adults who were alarmed. Those should have been some key things that said, this is not right. This kid goes to my kid's school, or this student goes to my school. Hey, mom, look what this kid posted. He goes to our school. Those are things that we have to have. And conversations, we got to get back to dinner conversations. You're right, we're in a world where everybody's busy, everybody's working, and we're losing out on dinner time. Where we sit down, how was your day at school today? They'll have a conversation where these two got into an argument. So those are on your radar. Once again, we have to be intentional parents. We are busy parents, but we still have to be intentional parents. We have to have conversations. We have to get back to times where we're sitting down. How was your day? And the kid fine, and we keep going. We keep going.
Right.
Oh, they had a good day.
Well,
what was fine about it? You know, what did you do all day? What was third period like? We've got to be intentional parents. We've got to be concerned, and we have to be aware and praying over our kids. One thing I do daily is read Psalms 91 over my children every single day for protection. We have to be prayerful for our kids. Got to pray over them every morning. We pray before we leave the house, you know, and we know God's divine will is always going to be paramount in our lives. And we all have a dash. We all have a beginning and an ending. But our prayer is, Lord, give us grace and help us be there to raise our kids and raise them successfully. You know,
I love that. I love that. Let me remind our listeners, if anyone has a question for Dr. Strother, you can call 347-324-5246, press 1, and we will have your question or your thought. We would love to hear that. Dr. Strother, tell me what's been since the shooting last week, have you seen any changes in your students? Are you having questions? What is the atmosphere like? What do you see? And I know you read through your literature and you have a kind of a view of what's going on across the nation. What do you think's going on?
For our kids, they are, for the most part, going day by day. Our teachers have prayer time for those kids. We start off the morning praying for those families. But for the most part, we do drills, like I said, to make sure our kids know what to do in case we go in lockdown. So that's, I think they have a sense of we're okay, because we do that at least once a quarter to go through that ritual of what needs to be. Parents know where they need to be to pick up their kids if something should happen. For the most part, our kids are solemn because those are loss of life. You know, and we are a very kind school in the community that, you know, that we are praying community also. But for the most part, our kids are going day to day. They're showing up, you know. But they know that we have things in place. Parents know that we run a drill just in case. We want to be prepared.
Absolutely. Are you having a lot of parents call? Do you have parents with questions, concern? Are you seeing anything going on with the families?
No, no, none of the parents are calling in, like I said, because they are prepared. They know we are doing drills. We send home emails, sending drills, letting them know when a drill is, and they already know that if something should happen, your kid is at this location to get them off campus. So,
you're bringing a schedule. Yeah. You're bringing schedule to these families and that life, which is, so that is a safety net, having those boundaries and a schedule, isn't it?
Right. It is. It is. We want them to know that their kids are safe, and we're taking every precaution, and we put them in the loop to be able to say, okay, if something does happen, where should I go?
Yes. I have a quote here where Billy Graham's team went in, and he said, at times of tragedy, Christian churches and ministries rally to remind survivors of a God who tells us in Psalms that he is there to heal the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. How does that scripture, how do you see that scripture playing out in your area? I'll just tell you, so many times in the last few weeks I've heard, well, where was God? You know, where was God when this happened? And how would you react to that, Dr. Strother?
Well, nothing surprises God. Surprises God. And even though we're Christian and we're believers, he didn't say we were not going to be pain-free, hurt-free. Mm. But what we're supposed to do is go through and become closer with him and build our relationships. Now, I'm sure those parents are not forgiving right now because they're hurting in a place. But eventually they will forgive him because we know God is the author and finisher of our faith, and we're hurt. Whereas humans, we know we will experience hurt. This is not what they had planned for their kids. They planned weddings down the line and grandkids.
Right.
So this is not what our plan is, but ultimately we all belong to God. And sometimes he wants us back sooner than we anticipate. So he's always there.
Right.
He's there in the midst of our hurt, and in our hurt, we have to really learn to lean on him. We have to just pray through this and know that he's always there with us, and he's never going to leave us, and the Bible is the living word.
I'm sorry, I thought you were stopping there. And it really does come back to what you were saying, that he is the only one that can heal the brokenhearted of these parents and grandparents and teachers and husbands and wives and spouses and bind up their wounds. I cannot imagine that type of pain. I cannot imagine that type of pain. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to dedicate this hour to this topic, so that we can come together as believers, non-believers, people of all faiths, all ages, and really say, what can we do? Where is the hope? How can we bring purpose out of this? How can we not let their voices be silenced forever? What can we do? How can we honor the lives, these 17 incredible lives? How can we not just let it be another newsreel and go, well, that's a shame, and keep on keeping on? We have to rise up and say, I'm going to face this fear with a faith that's undeniable and do something in my sphere of influence to start making a difference. And I believe that we do that with practical steps, ways that, like what you were saying, Dr. So, that I just love so much. We take the practical and we say, get a routine. Begin a conversation. Be intentional with your kids. You know, one of the greatest things that I heard when my guys were little, a mom said to me, when those boys walk through that house, let your eyes light up. Let them know how glad you are that they're home. And, you know, and she said, that is one of the best ways to start a conversation. And I love that, because they knew Mom loved them, and I would drop anything at that moment. Now, I'm not saying I was a perfect mom. I'm just saying I sure did light up when my boys walked into the room. And I believe we all do, but we have become so busy, so overwhelmed, so overworked, so overtaxed by our phones that we can be intentional, like you said, lay down the phones, cut off the TV, and whenever we see those kids, whether it's when they're first walking in or when we're walking in from a hectic day, that we just stop and go, wait a minute, this is my moment. This is
right.
my moment to look into their eyes and delight in my child and to have
yes.
that plan. So we're going to take a break here, Dr. Strother, and
okay.
you have given us so much, but let's just hold on. We're going to take a 30-second commercial break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to add someone to this discussion. We're going to add a very special young lady in my life, Lorianne Montsinger, who will be coming in from Charlotte. But we're going to continue this conversation. Listeners, I want to remind you, if you have a question or if you'd like to call in, the number is 347-324-5246. Press 1. Go into our waiting room. We would love to answer your question or hear your comment today. So let's take a 30-second break.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Coffee with Kim. We are having an incredible conversation today about how to find hope and healing in all the hurts of the tragedies that are going on around us. I'd like to remind you, if you'd like to know more about me and the ministry that I have, Roses and Rainbows, I would encourage you to check us out. Go to our webpage, rosesandrainbows.org. There's an incredible story of hurt and healing in that title, too, Roses and Rainbows. I travel nationally, globally, with the message of burdens to blessings, taking the hurts of our hearts, the things that we have lived through, and allowing God to transform them, not only to be a blessing to us, but to bless those around us. So with that thought in mind, I would like to bring into our conversation someone who, again, is very, very sweet to my heart, Lorianne Montsinger. Lorianne is calling in and joining us from Charlotte, North Carolina. Lorianne is my niece, and she was the survivor of the Virginia Tech, what is called, massacre, where over 30 kids were shot down, 32 people were dead, and 17 wounded on that fateful day of April 17th. Lorianne, welcome, sweet girl, to the radio show.
Good morning.
Good morning. So tell us, you've been listening, and I know that this is not an easy call for you to make. As a matter of fact, for those listening, I want you to know when I invited Lorianne in to do this. Lorianne, what were your comments to me? Do you remember when I first asked you if you'd like to join me today to share some of your story?
Yes, and I do want to thank you for having me on Coffee with Kim and for everything Dr. Strother just said. That's so important, and I so agree with all of it. I just remember when you first asked me, thinking, oh, my gosh, yes, I want to be a part and I want to share hope, but that it was going to be hard because I haven't really had the opportunity to speak that much about it, and I'm still working through things myself. So it is a big step.
Well, and that's what I want our listeners to understand. I want to just take a minute, Lorianne, truly, to honor you, because I know this is not easy for you. I know that you are still healing. This many years later, you are still healing. And I know that you've only talked about this really one other time. But what I want the listeners to understand is that you are answering your call to try to put some kind of purpose to the pain, the horrid pain that you felt that day, to comfort others. To me, you are a living legacy of 2 Corinthians, where it says, praise be to God, the Father of all compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our trouble so that we can then comfort those as they need to be comforted. And that's what I see you doing, Maureen. So tell us, please, from what you have heard today, what would be your response? How did you've heard, didn't Dr. Struthers give us incredible information?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she
mm-hmm.
give us such practical? From that, tell me, she said they began a conversation. Tell me about the conversations that you had, what you needed, what helped you, so that our parents and teachers listening can hear it from someone who actually was in there. Give us an insight on what really helped you and comforted you.
Absolutely. Gosh, there were so many steps, and there's still steps. And I will say that I wasn't involved in the actual room where the shooting was happening. And so I can speak from a side of anyone that was physically unharmed, and the first responders and the law enforcement officers that may feel a little selfish asking for resources and might feel not qualified to speak or even search out for those resources. But I just want to share hope to those people and say that it is okay to need comfort. And I was blessed to have a family that knew they were wiser, much wiser than me, knew that it was going to take a little bit of time for me to process what was happening, and my friends as well. And they prayed for me, and they had so many people praying for me that I'm sure I don't even know about. They were there for me, and they were available. They had pastors and counsel available for me. They mm-hmm. knew that, you know, maybe I didn't want to talk about it or know how to talk about it, and that was okay. And they never pushed me or asked me questions. You know, if they asked questions and I didn't have the answer, that was okay. And mm-hmm. they knew I was healing, and they still know that. So I would say that everything Dr. Struthers said, right on. I mean, I agree with that. Let's mm-hmm. just go ahead and be mindful of these things and hope that everyone can come together and support each other at this time.
I love what you said, Lorianne. And I remember that day when all this was happening, because your dad is my brother, whom I love mm-hmm. and adore. And I can remember sitting at home, and he called me. And he, being in law enforcement for over 30-some years, called and he said, "I don't know what's going on. It's just come across the police scanners that there's a shooting." And he said, "Kim, Lorianne's there. Let's pray." So, you know, mm-hmm. the first thing that he thought to do as law enforcement, as a practical agent of the law, he knew that the first thing to do was to pray and then to move into action. And I mm-hmm. so appreciated that. So the panic at that moment in all of us, you know, it happens, those first 20 or 30 seconds of panic. Dr. Struthers, I know you're still with us. You're hearing what Lorianne said, and I love, and I think we need to stop right here, because so many times when we're talking about a conversation needs to happen, sometimes that conversation can be more not as verbal as it is emotional, and just being there for the person and not forcing words to happen when they're not ready to happen. Can we just talk about that for just a minute, Dr. Struthers?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Hugging, touching, loving on them while they're going through, because they don't know what to say. They don't know how to express my feelings. Most times they're angry, they're hurt, and they don't understand, how do I get that across without screaming to the top of my lungs, "I'm hurting"?
Right.
So you have to be there for them, and just hug, hold them, and pray over them and make sure they're okay. And take them outside and let them scream. Let them, you know, release that emotion that is tied up. Because a lot of times they just don't know. They just need to release all this anger and hurt. They are questioning, you know, why does that happen to us? Why does that happen at our school? Why us? You know, and they don't know how to express that.
Right, absolutely. Lorianne, thank you, Dr. Lorianne, let me ask you this. How long was it before you really were ready to talk about it?
Oh, I talk about it in stages still now, things that I didn't ever talk about before. I mean, just in the past few weeks, I've talked to my parents about some things that I never have brought up with them before. And I think that's okay. And looking back, you know, I think my parents were wiser and knew this was going to happen, you know. They never put a list down that I needed to check off healing, you know.
And
it's just nice to know, looking back, I can see where God's been with me and where my parents kind of guided me. And you know, it's still a work in progress.
Well, and let, may I just say to you, Lorianne, you're taking a huge step in that healing, which is becoming more verbal about it, to really be able to stand in the fear that you're facing right now and the nervousness that you have right now to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to let this control me. But
right.
I love the fact that you've taken this much time. May I ask you a really personal question, Lorianne?
Absolutely.
Did you seek counseling?
At first, I didn't think that I needed it, and I didn't want to. I have since then. And, you know, counseling is such a good thing. I have friends that are in counseling just because it's a good place to be. I would highly recommend that. I mean, and if you don't mind me adding, I just think that even for people that don't have any physical wounds, a lot of the survivors will walk around for months and sometimes even years before they realize they were actually affected. I would just say to those people, you know, and the family of those people that are praying for them, to just open their mind to the possibility that maybe they are affected and maybe you will be affected, and that's okay. And I would advise them to seek counsel, you know.
How could you not be affected, you know, really, when you think about it? And I know that you could hear the shots. I know that you weren't in the very room, but I know you were in the room just down the hall, and I know that you could hear the shots and everything. How can any of us, especially those like you who are at the place where it happens, but even with us on the news, you know, I mean, outside the news, watching the news, how can we not be affected? And that's what I want to talk about today with you two, is not only, you know, I mean, how can we take what is happening, how it has affected us, and how can we turn it into something that is useful and powerful and hopefully begin to prevent it from happening more? And, you know, and I know that there's discussions about gun control and political and all that, but I don't know. To me, from what I see in God's word, that it is a choice that I make whether to go out and hurt those around me or to begin sharing hope and healing. It is a personal choice. So if that is true, which I believe it to be true because of God's word is true and alive and active in my life, then how can I take that and activate it, make it intentional, and do something differently? So from that standpoint, what do you see, Lorianne, as a practical step in what we can do to alleviate some of this violence that we see going on, especially in our young people today?
Well, I think that just going through something like this, it forces you to think a little bit differently about the world, and you question things, and you want to have answers to things that we can't have answers to. And when you go through those things, you kind of almost have the opportunity to say, well, I bet there's other people out there that maybe I can mentor that have thought these same things and question these same things and look at it more as an opportunity to reach out to those people. I mean, you're going to need your time to heal, but while you're healing and, you know, after you're healed, I would say, you know, God probably put you through that because he knew that maybe you could help someone else. And I'm interested in mentoring young kids as well that are at that age and kind of thinking those same thoughts and questioning, you know, why wasn't it me? Why wasn't I taken? Or, you know, what could I have done differently? And just kind of helping them process and move through. There's so many, you know, mental wounds that aren't seen, you know, that we need to mentor our young and mentor our children and teach them that it's okay to not be okay.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Lorianne, I love that. It's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Struthers, let's talk about that right now, because one of the things that I want us to mention, and I love this, is Dr. Struthers, she and I have become very close in the last few weeks. she invited me into her school to do the Burdens of Blessings teaching with 7th and 8th grade girls. And we really thought, I mean, let's be honest, we didn't know if it was going to, you know, we didn't know how the girls were going to respond. I mean, here I am not a teenager anymore. So I thought, oh my gosh, how are they going to accept me? How are they going to, how will they respond to this message? And we just prayed. And I went in being just as gut honest, as not trying to be greater than, but just walking with them, with God's word. And Dr. Strether, something that you don't even know is that these girls, we do know how the girls have taken root because they see a better side. We all, in God's word, see a better side of who we can be. But Dr. Strether, let me just tell you something. One of these girls was sitting in a Sunday school room yesterday at one of the largest churches in Augusta, and her Sunday school teacher could not get the students to say hardly anything. And finally, she just, in desperation, said, "Has anything good happened to anybody in this room?" And she said, this little girl began to smile, and she said, I just looked over at her and said, "Jane Ann, what has happened?" And she said, "Well, let me just tell you, I've had this program start at my school, and it's changing us. We are learning that it's okay not to be okay," was basically what she was saying. "We're learning that we can talk. We're learning we don't have to be alone." And isn't that what Lorianne was saying? Lorianne is saying, yes, it's time to break down the barriers of all of us feeling like that we have to be perfect and we have to have all the answers, and understand that, you know, individually we have some answers, but together, oh my gosh, we have so many more. And the power of Christ working through each and every one of us as we lock hands and walk through this world together is a powerful source. But we must be willing to break down those walls. So this little girl, by starting the conversation, has led us to having a teen program at this school, at this church, the very night that a large men's conference is going on. So, wow, it is okay to not be okay. So, so much hope. But let's talk about that for just a minute, because in our world, what's going across our news right now, in our schools, you know, everything looks so perfect and everything appears to be so polished and so pretty. I love getting underneath all that shallowness and saying what Lorianne said. It's okay to not be okay, because that's where we can make a difference. Comments from either one of you two?
Well, some of our kids are hurting, and we are just taking for granted that they are okay. And we need to make sure that we're checking in with them and teaching them the value of life.
Yes.
You know, with you, their parents that go hunting with their kids, but teach them the value of life. This is what this gun is used for and what it's not used for. And go in their rooms and find out what you're doing. If you're being hurt at school, why you're being hurt at school, go find out.
Yeah.
You really, really, really have to be involved in our kids' lives, walking side by side with them every day and monitoring what they're doing. You know, who their friends are. What are you watching? What are you doing?
Right, right. I love that. You know, we're going to take a break just a minute. We have a caller that I'd like to invite on. I've kind of forgotten that we have callers, so let's take a caller very quickly. Caller 0204, welcome to Coffee with Kim.
Good morning.
Good morning, and what is your name, and where are you calling from, caller?
First of all, my name is Debbie. I'm calling from Texas, and I have a question for Dr. Strether, and I have just really been moved by this conversation this morning. But Dr. Strether, I understand from the conversation this morning that you work in a private school setting, and as a parent, a person of the community who truly is concerned about the safety of our children, what kind of advice or tips could you pass along for those who are in the public schools now and have such, you know, concerns and needs and desires to make our children feel safe. And what can we do as parents, whether we're believers or not? I feel like this is a time that we all need to take a stand.
Great, great question. Dr. Strother?
Well, becoming involved, even if you are in a public school or private school, as a community, they have PTA meetings that they invite the community in. Be a part of what's going on in the school. And if you have resources because to add value, to help them become safety, so you know a police officer who will come in and speak. But we're open to having a conversation with the community. We want the community involved because it's your kids we are educating. So showing up to those PTA meetings and being a involved community member and parent of the school, private or public, you still have a voice, and we want those invites. You might have an idea nobody's ever thought of that can change the culture of the school. I met Kim and invited her in, and now we're changing our middle school. So don't be afraid to voice your opinion. Speak, talk, share your ideas.
I love that. And, you know, one of the things that I hear a lot that I'm just going to tell you, it just kind of unnerves me a bit. And I understand legally that we cannot have prayer in our public schools. Got it. My boys were in private some, in public some. They were in, you know, I've experienced it all. But there was never a school. Never, ever, ever a school that I did not pray in. So, parents, do not feel like you cannot go into your school and pray. Do not tell your kids that they cannot pray in the school. They don't have to be loud and boisterous and unruly and unbecoming. But I will tell you, when my kids were in public schools, parents and I, we would walk in the afternoon. We'd walk around the school at the circumference of the school, and we'd pray. We'd walk in the hallways, and we'd pray. There was never a football game that we would not get together and pray. So there again, we have to stand up to the fears of what someone may think or say to do what is necessary. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12, we are to fight the good fight of faith. And we cannot stand by any longer and just say, well, I wish I could. Nope, wishing is done. It's in the past. We have it within us, the power to really make changes. And that's what I pray that this show or this time is beginning to show each and every one of us. That was a wonderful question, Debbie. Thank you so much for calling in with that. Lorianne, do you have a comment that you would like to share about that? Because I know you, too, were educated in a public school system. Tell me, can you add anything to that?
Yes. So I agree also that you should pray in your schools. I believe in the power of prayer. And I think it's great to have parents pray in the school. I don't have children, but that's a good point. If I did, I would want to be in that school praying over them. I believe that that's good. And I think that everything Dr. Strother said, I just agree with that. We need to just stay aware and be aware and just face the issue that's at hand right now.
And I remember, too, Lorianne, I remember with you and your brother Luke, who is now a pilot, I know how you all began Bible studies in your school, in your non-Christian, very public school.
Very public.
Very public schools that you all. And so how did you do that? Did you do that before school, after school? Tell me what that looked like.
Yes, so we had a little Christian organization there that we got together with some of our friends, and we would pray, and we would even pray outside by the flagpole, and it was just called the flagpole gathering. We would go out there and pray together before school and on some days, and my brother did that as well, and I think it's great, and I really hope that, you know, the schools in some form or fashion still allow the kids to do that, you know, if they choose to do that. I think it's sad that they're taking it out, but
it is, but maybe it will move us to do something stronger and better. Maybe it will call all of us to rise in the
face
with a deeper
of fear.
Passion. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, you remember in Acts, that's how the first churches were formed, you know, through mm-hmm. persecution, and they had to run, and it didn't extinguish their fire. It caused a passion to grow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And maybe that's what all this can drive us to. That is not to disregard or disrespect or dishonor these incredible human beings who have lost their lives. No, this is in honor of them. How can we make their lives matter? How can we do that? Because that's what I think is important, to take what is going on at the moment and face it and say, I don't like it. I wish to God this had never happened. If I could change it from happening, I would. But now moving forward, how do I turn and face the future and say, God, what can we do as a society about this at this moment? How can we make a difference, and how can we make their lives have a voice and a legacy into our future? Well, ladies, I cannot even thank you enough for joining us this morning. What a conversation we have had. I would like to give both of you a moment for a final comment or something that you would like to say. And I'll start with you, Lorianne. Through this conversation, is there a final word? I just truly, with my whole heart, want to thank you and honor you for stepping right smack dab, that's a Southern way of saying, right in the middle of your hurt and your fear. You, girl, sweet girl, have stood in the middle of your fear and you faced it. And I know that you have brought comfort to many today. And I just thank you so much for doing that. And I believe that you are going to see that you have found another layer of healing in all of this in your life. But do you have a final word that you would like to say to someone out there who is silently hurting because they feel like they should just get over it? They should have gotten over it by now. What would you say to that person who is just still almost condemning themselves because they haven't healed from a violent situation?
Right. They feel guilty. I would say that you do not need to heal in a certain time frame. And if it even takes you a while to realize that you're affected, that's okay. And don't be shocked by that. I just wish that everyone could hear that. It's not something that you check off a box when you're done healing. You'll work through it, and you'll also look back and see that God will put people in your path that you'll empathize with and help and mentor, and he'll give you insight at the right times to look back and say, well, you know, that did affect me, and I did heal. And I want to just share one verse for those that are brokenhearted and really feeling just, you know, very affected by this. And that verse is Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Soothing words of comfort. Lorianne, thank you, sweet girl. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If anybody would like to contact Lorianne, you can contact me and I can tell you how to reach her for even more words, or maybe even have her come speak at your church. Dr. Strother, we have just a minute left. What would you like to say?
Just be intentional with your child. Be intentional. Who are their friends? Who are they hanging out with? Have conversations with them, because ultimately we are raising the next generation, and what we put into them is what we're going to, that's going to manifest. You know, pray over them. Plead the blood of Jesus over their lives each and every day. And ultimately, you know, God is in charge. He didn't say we wouldn't hurt, but we have to learn how, when we are hurt, what to do. And when our kids are hurting, how to help mentor them through hurt so they're not hurting others. We've got to be intentional parents. We've got to be focused on what they're doing and not just leading them to the video games and to their friends and to the classrooms, but be intentional about planting your seed in them and being sure we're producing fruits that are going to be successful.
Thank you so much. Dr. Strother, Lorianne, I cannot even thank you enough. Thank you so much for joining us. What an incredible conversation we have had. I want to remind our audience, upcoming events, I'm going to be in Augusta again on March 1st and 2nd. I'm going to be in Carthage, Texas on March 9th and 10th, and then I'm going to be in Jackson, Mississippi, April 17th. Lots of wonderful things coming up. I hope that you can join me at one of these events. So how do we conclude this conversation? Well, how about this? There's a quote that says, "We do not remember days, but we remember moments." Think about the moment when the call came across the airwaves, 3:41, last Valentine's Day. The caller has been apprehended. It was over, but now we're still healing. Ladies, gentlemen, friends out there, thank you for being a part of this show. Let's let the healing continue. Today, let's embrace our moment a little tighter and make our moments matter. Until next week, friends, let's all find the courage to comfort just one in a way that God has comforted us.
Thank you for joining Coffee with Kim, a moment where your past pain connects with your future purpose to create your unique and powerful story.